I'm reading from the New International Version. It reads, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And Joshua did so." Amen. Shall we say amen again?
Amen.
Great. That means we agree with what Joshua has said, has done. Now, we thank God for 2017. It's a new year. We don't know what it brings, but we trust in God with our lives and with everything that comes with it. And we are trusting his leadership for him to take us through. And where we are asking for his forgiveness to forgive us and to wash us and to restore us to our rightful place. Last night, we said 2017, we are going to take the land as a possession because the Bible says so. Amen.
Amen.
And we read, as we read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we said, "I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south." Isn't this wonderful? God says, "I'll give you every land and every place that your sole of your feet will tread." And not only will God give you that land, but you spread out. Your territory will go to the east, will go to the west, will go to the north, will go to the north is behind me, and will go to the south. And that is what God said. And verse 7, he said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." These were powerful statements. It's easy for us to quote these things, but we have to bring it in the proper context, that God wants his people to take land and be successful, but they need to be courageous. We also learned that taking the land that our feet will step on will not be automatic, because there will be wicked people on the same land, and some of them are giants. So that means going forward in this year, don't let anybody tell you that there's not going to be no problems in your life. I pray so and I wish so. But unfortunately, there are bad people out there, and sometimes we may face them. For some reason, somebody may not like you because you look different from him. Or somebody may not like you because you are in a better position than he or she is. Somebody may not like you because you have more money than they do. Some of them may not like you because you dress better than they do. These are my life experiences. Sometimes somebody just don't like you because you dress better. Maybe your hairstyle is better. Maybe you are tall. Maybe you walk upright. Maybe you are handsome, you're beautiful. Maybe you get more money, and they're jealous. And these people, not that you've done them any wrong, you know, they just want to frustrate you. They are wicked people. Say that wicked people will get out of my way. Shall we say that wicked people will get out of my way? In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, so some of these people are giant and they are wicked. And we said to take the land, three things ought to happen. You got to be people of the word. That means you have to read the word of God, reflect upon it, and act upon it. Think deeply and act upon it. You also need to be a people of prayer. I'm just recapping this and then get back to today's message. We said that to take that land, people who we should be people of prayer, people who seek God's voice and direction and charge if God is in it. Otherwise, they will hold their ground and not make any move until they hear from God. They finally need to be people who identify with God, those who are marked by God in their conduct, in their behavior, in their character, in their words and actions. You just notice the anointing of God upon such people when you see them. They are marked by God. And when these three things happen in your life, conditions are met, you will be successful. And nobody can stop you. And every land that your feet will thread, God will give you that land. God will extend your territories. And that is how it works in Scripture. Otherwise, you can quote anything that you like, and it's not going to work. And when it doesn't work, you blame God that I've prayed so much and God didn't hear it. He only heard it for the pastor, but not me. Maybe the pastor understood exactly what he was saying, but you did not get it. You did not act on that. Now, here we are. Joshua has taken these three things on board. And he has told the people of Israel, from verse 12 of chapter 1 of Joshua, that now I want you to get ready. Every one of you, your mothers, fathers, children, even servants and animals, we are going to inherit what God has given us. We are going to possess our possessions. That's today's topic. We are going to possess our possessions because God has given it to us. If something is your possession, that means it belongs to you. So God has something that he has prepared which belongs to you. And you have to walk in it. And unless you walk into it, you are never fulfilled. And I don't want any of us, come and work so hard on this earth and die not fulfilled. You see, one thing I've noticed in the past few years, either burying people or going closer to people who are bereaved or, caring for older people, I realize differences here. People who have no God in their lives and have not inherited or not walking into their inheritance and possessing their possessions, they look at death differently, with anxiety and with fear. They look at death, and they know they are not ready, and they don't seem to know how to be ready. For them, they see death as the end of it. And they literally waste away very quickly, and they just die. But those who know God and who are walking to their possessions, what I see in them is that they actually embrace death. They know death is coming, but they are not afraid. Some of them even say, bring it on. That is absolutely true. I know somebody who said, bring it on. I'm ready. I want to go. They're not afraid. Some say, you know what? I don't mind. I just want to go to bed and wake up and look at my body lying down dead. And I'm thinking that is fun. Exactly. And for them, death is something that they walk into. And for us, I'm not belittling the idea of death because human beings are precious. And when you lose them, there's so much pain in your heart. And I'm talking about somebody who has no father, who has no mother, who've lost two of my siblings, some quite recently. So I understand death when I'm talking about it. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that you just get to that point that you are confident about where you are going because your destiny is marked out for you. You've understood God. You have been a person of prayer, a person of the word, a person who's marked by God. So you know that when you die today, you're going to go to heaven. And those who don't know God today, they sit here, they feel uncomfortable, and they know that when they die, they're going to go to hell. Because there's nothing good in them. There's no God in them. And this, I am not compromising. Because that's what the word of God says. And evidence bears. Now we come back to Joshua. Here was Joshua going to walk into his destiny with 600 fighting men behind him who could wield a sword. And he was on the journey with millions of people also behind him. Joshua was facing a formidable obstacle, which was the city of Jericho. And this city was fortified. This city was strong. And this city was powerful, with powerful men, some even giants. Then a stranger pulled up on the road and came with a sword. And Joshua is looking at this person on a lonely road, just pull up in front of him. I'm sure he turned around and he sees the thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, men with sword behind him, and many more behind. And I'm wondering what was going through Joshua's mind. But Joshua had learned to be a people of prayer. So he knew that charging would not be the first option, but to seek if God is in it. He knew that he couldn't depend upon himself. He could have, but he chose not to. Because he's been a person of prayer, he decided, you know what? I am going to have a conversation with God to know if God is in it. I'm going to charge on this person and cut him out. If God is not in it, I'll hold my peace. So what did he do? Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Joshua was in a conversation here. Are you getting it? With this man to ascertain where he stood, he was not going to depend upon his own strength and power or cleverness, but want to know if God was with him. Sometimes, for some of us, even in this year or the year gone past, some of us are born to be brilliant. Some are born to be clever, intelligent, skillful, whatever you may call it. Nobody is born dumb. I know that for sure. What is dumbness to you is greatness to somebody. Maybe you see the bin man as a useless guy. But you know what? Without him, you will rot in rats in your home. You know that, don't you? No matter of your education can get you out of your rubbish. No matter of your influence can get you out of the rats. So everybody is born with something in their hands. We have to possess our possessions. We have to walk into it. And here was Joshua again. This man said, are you for us or not, or for our enemies? Joshua wanted to know where this man stood. He did not depend upon himself. Now look at what the man said in verse 14 of chapter 5. "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Joshua at that point, not his religious fervor, not his experience for 40 years with Moses that he was counting upon, not the fact that he was a soldier, he was the military captain of Moses, Moses' commander in the battlefield, not because he had that skills, he did not depend upon that, not because this time he's the man in charge with influence and power and with so many people around him, he did not depend upon that either. But when he had this conversation, he fell down on the ground and paid reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Joshua showed great sense of humility here. He bowed and showed reverence to this person. Humility is not forgetting about your own achievements and experiences and pretending does not exist, by being bold about these, yet not looking down on others because of it. Joshua could have looked down to that man and said, "You know what? You're only alone. Look at me. Look at my CV. 40 years with Moses. I prayed with him. So many times, the battles that Moses faced, I was the guy from the time of the Red Sea until the time of the Jordan. I was the guy fighting those battles. I was fighting the Philistines. I was fighting the Amalekites. I was fighting the Moabites. I was fighting the Edomites. I was fighting all these guys. I was defeating them because God was with me." He could have relied upon that. He could have relied upon the fact that he was a very religious person. He could have relied upon that, or the fact that he was a leader then. But he did none of these. He was a very humble person. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ, even though God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. But here on this earth, he was in human flesh and he laid down his life as a human being. And this week I've been reading the book of John, and we did recommend that to you as a church. Did anyone read it? Yes, I have two hands. We recommend that during this time we're not bringing daily devotion. As you are preparing for Christmas, now Christmas is gone. What will you do with your life? Exactly. With all the prep and all the excitement, it's gone. So what will you do? You see, if you have God, you do exploit, as Daniel would say. You see, now I've been reading John, and I've been enjoying it so much. And I look at Jesus Christ, the man that the Bible says he's so humble. But what I see is that he confronted the Pharisees. He came with cleverness and wisdom and understanding. He talked about his own seed. People said, oh, you are even talking about your own self, giving your own testimony. And he actually reaffirmed that I have to. I don't have to forget about my record. I don't have to forget that I'm God on earth. I don't have to forget that I'm the one who was spoken of by the prophets. But I want you to know, for the reason why I came is that you will know God. So humility is not forgetting about ourselves. Sometimes people who say they are humble, they say, oh, yeah, I have nothing. Oh, I'm this. You see, you are pretending. You are a liar. God is not interested in that. God wants you to know who you are, but respect other people for who they are too. Whatever you describe them to be, they are important and they matter to God. And for that matter, respect them. That is humility. Did you get it? You see, stand your ground. Show what you've got. You are properly educated. Be proud to talk about it. You have good experience in work. Be proud to talk about it. If you achieve a lot, be proud to talk about it. If you've got money, why not? Tell people about it if you want to. But respect those who do not have it as you have. That is humility. And that was what Joshua was doing. Joshua did not depend upon himself, but he bowed down to this person and asked, what has my Lord have for me? He asked for a plan. So in this year, as you want to possess your possessions, you have to humble yourself. But you also have to ask for a plan from God. God, what do you want me to do? What plan have you got for me? How do I tackle this 2017? The things that the enemy will throw at me, the things that society will throw at me, the things that work will throw at me, the things that even my own home will throw at me, the challenges of life and the victories of life. When God blesses you with so much wealth and money and success and everything, how will you handle it? All this, you have to ask God for a plan to do that. You have to go to Jericho. It was a fortified city, and he had a plan. This plan, he had to ask for it. So this year, ask God for a plan. Because some of us, we only hope. We throw our plans in front of God. This is what I want to do. This is God, what I want to do. Pray, pray, pray. God, do it for me. And if it doesn't happen, God has disappointed me. God never disappoints nobody because he never asks for the plan anyway. You're working on your own agenda. But God has a plan for every one of us. And we have to ask. And that was a sense of humility that Joshua did. Joshua showed a great sense of that. He bowed and showed reverence to this man. And Joshua also wanted to know what specific plan that God has for him to possess his possessions. So the man said in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied. He replied, that I have come. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is a holy ground. And Joshua did so. Joshua was hungry for success. He really wanted to go and possess the land. So he did what was told him to do. Joshua was passionate about what God is saying. He was passionate about his God and was passionate about the destiny of the people who were with him. So he was ready to set himself apart unto God. That means holiness, right? Setting yourself apart unto God. It doesn't mean that you are sinless. Did you get that? It doesn't mean that you are sinless. When I was a kid, I thought when he says holy, that means you are sinless. So when I get it wrong, I feel so bad. I'm so unholy. Holiness means somebody who has set his or her life apart unto God and say, look, I'm passionate about God. I'm going to make sure that God is in the fore of my agenda. God is going to be with me. And he is going to lead me in every situation. And I will not do things without referring to him and ask for his plan. And I will not go without him. If God is with me, I will charge. If it's not, I will hold my ground. And that is exactly what he said. And this man said, "For as a commander of the people, I have come." Joshua's heart for people was evident because the man said, "As a commander of the Lord's army, I have come." Joshua was not only for himself, but for others' welfare and well-being too. Another word that I could borrow from smart people is that he was people smart. That means he cared about people. So going into this year, please, I beg you, make sure that you care about people. Don't just walk over people. When you get it wrong, go and say, "I apologize." It won't kill you, you know, to say, "I apologize." Some people will stick their fingers at you, but that is their choice. But you have apologized. Do you understand that? You see, make it a way of life for yourself. And that means he cared about people. He did not want to go to this promised land by himself. Joshua's hunger and passion was to conquer the land and divide it for the people of God as an inheritance and as a possession. So what can I say in this short passage? That Joshua was a man who was in constant communication with God. He was a man who did not depend upon himself, but he was humble. He was a man who looked for a plan from God so that he can follow it to possess his possessions. He never took his eye off the fact that God has an agenda for him. God has a land that he has promised his fathers that he will give to them. And that is what they've been working for 40 years for, that they will go and possess what is theirs. So in this year, we want to possess what is ours and what we have been struggling for, the land that our feet will thread. We want to possess that. And Joshua wanted to give it to the people as well. He didn't want it just for himself, you know. He wanted to make sure that he would divide it so that every tribe will have their share. So that because every tribe has its name, could be Judah, Reuben, could be Gad, it could be whatever, Asher, it could be anything. And you have a name. And therefore, there's a land for you to possess. There's an inheritance for you to possess. And this inheritance is going to be for you. Hallelujah. Amen. What have we learned so far to finish with you? He was a man of prayer who depended upon God for his life decisions. Joshua would look to God for a plan and direction in his life. Joshua was humble. He was hungry and people smart. That means he was somebody who would look at himself and say, "Know what? I know who I am." Yeah, there's a song that goes like that. "I know who I am." Isn't that right? I know who I am. You got to know who you are. That means confidence is important to possess your land. You got to know who you are. You're not aware, my brother, my sister. When your mom born you and have you in their hands, how adorable you've always been. They've looked after you. Otherwise, why would they spend on you? You're so adorable. You're so amazing. You're the best thing that ever happened in this world. So why do you think you are different now? You're the same person. Your parents love you. And God loves you even more. So you have to have that confidence. You have to know who you are. And don't beat yourself to the ground. You have to stand your ground like Jesus did. You have to let people know who you are by respecting others for who they are. It's very important. And you have to be hungry, means you have to be passionate for God. So this new year, I want to encourage you to be passionate for God. Right? Don't wait for my text message before you come to church. And don't curse me when you see it. Because when you curse me, it doesn't affect me because I know who I am. And I'm a special man in the hands of God. And God has anointed me. I know what he told Abraham. When you curse me, the curse comes back to you. So I beg you, don't have no curses upon yourself. Sometimes I weep for the people who hate me. God, that's their problem. It's not mine. And I beg you, if for any reason you don't like this church, leave quietly. And come and tell leaders, "You know what, I think my ministry is somewhere else." Don't curse them and leave. Because the curse will follow you. Do you understand that? So possessing your possessions, God is going to bless you. You got to be hungry and passionate for God. And you have to be people smart. You've got to be making sure that you care about people. Hey, this is my New Year's message for you today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows it's shorter than usual. Hallelujah. Hey, I thank God for your life this year. And this year, know who you are. Don't let nobody beat you to the ground. Some people will hate you, but pray for them. For 25 years, 27 years, I've never been to a place that I haven't had at least one person who hated my guts. And who want my job because they think I'm successful, they think I have money or something. And it may be happening to you as you go forward. But I just want to encourage you that God is with you. And God wants you to possess what is yours. Don't let no man take it away. 2017, you have to claim what is yours. And as you claim, please be humble when God blesses you. Amen. Happy New Year.